just need to say. Other than that, it just goes, it's the building, it's the building.
Are you sure you are? You are going to talk to him?
I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
I just wanted you to know that on the submission, I'm not going to mitigate.
Got it. We ready to go? Ready to go, yes. Thank you, my apologies for being slightly late. But we appreciate the opportunity to come back and see you all. We're very excited tonight to discuss our second phase of Laurel Park Station.
We haven't actually opened the meeting yet, so we'll open the meeting.
Sorry about that.
So, Mr. Chair, if the board can make sure all those mics are on.
Yep.
So we can get a good recording.
Okay, let's start the meeting. I think you all probably know the drill. We'll introduce ourselves. You all introduce yourselves, 15 minutes or so, to give us the overview of the project. Obviously, this isn't your first time here. We'll have some questions, and then we'll also hear some comments from the county, and then we'll go from there and make some motions if necessary. I'm Fred Marino. I'm an architect.
I'm Vivian Stone. I'm an architect as well.
Bob Gorman, landscape architect.
Larry Quarick, landscape architect.
Ethan Merchant, I'm an architect.
I'm Nicholas Haynes. I work for the Department of Planning and Zoning.
Val Lasdens, planning director.
Rob Vogel, civil engineer.
I'm Mark Thompson. I'm a developer with the Stronach Group.
And Matt Herbert with Design Collective, design architect.
Okay, well, you all can take it away.
Great, thank you. Again, we appreciate the opportunity to come before you. We're looking very much forward to sharing with you the designs for our second phase of development. The last time we were here, we really went over the whole concept of Laurel Park Station. And at that time, since that time, we've been very excited and very pleased with the progress of development to date. Unfortunately, I didn't get our latest drone flight that our general contractor does, but it's been an incredible transformation, and I think it makes me really excited for the potential for the project to enhance the broader community around North Laurel. So with that, we'll get into it. We're gonna I'm gonna briefly open and then turn it over to Rob Vogel of Vogel Engineering to give a little bit of the broader context on the community. And then Matt Herbert from the Design Collective is going to talk about the details of our phase two building. As you can see here, and in fact, some of you who were on the panel last time remember this. This just gives you a sense of our location. We are in the very, very southeast corner of the county, probably as southeast as you can get. As you see there, the racetrack, the Laurel Racetrack Mark Station, and the train line that runs, really bisects our properties, is also the county line. And so we have the red area there is 63 acres in Howard County, which is in combination with about 287 acres of our property in Anne Arundel County. You can see, obviously, the clubhouse and the racetrack parking, and then what we call the backstretch, which is really the areas. Does this work? Mm-hmm. Other end. The areas back in here where we have the barns for the horses and all the trainers, owners, and horses and folks that work with the horses, that's where they're located. Go ahead with the next. So we had some really basic design objectives, and these were, we reviewed these with you the last time around, but Laurel Park Station is really, and it's per the zoning code in Howard County, a transit-oriented development with the adjacency of our Mark Station, which we will be transforming from what is now a flag stop. If you can believe that, you have people that stand out there and wave the train down. and if they see you, they'll stop. We're working with MTA and DOT, with Howard County and Anne Arundel County to create a much more substantial station. Beyond that connectivity to rapid transit, however, we really wanted to build a pedestrian orientation and connectivity within the development, connectivity with Laurel Park, and connectivity with the broader community of the city of Laurel, North Laurel and Howard County and Anne Arundel County. With this particular building, our site is 63 acres. It's very dense. But we really wanted the articulation of this building to break it into more pedestrian-oriented scale. And we also wanted to have an architecture, a style that's more contemporary, and again, that human scale, so that people really see this as a desirable place to live, work, play, and in our case, ride. Both the train, horses, bikes, whatever it might be. So as you can see, this is a prior to our development efforts image of the site. It was really an ancillary parking lot. I've spoken, there's an individual actually that works for the county that grew up in this area and remembers playing football and baseball on this field. And I asked him, were there ever cars there? And he said, oh, yeah, it was very full. For us, in these more recent times, we've leased it out for storage. And so it was really an underutilized piece of land when you think about where it is within the county along the Route 1 corridor. As you all are probably aware, this is the portion of Route 1 that splits. So this is the southbound side, and this is the northbound side. And so this is the area, the primary area of our development. We'll also have open space on this end and open space, oops, sorry, I'm hitting your computer, on this end. And then the Patuxent River runs along the south border. So that's our existing site. As I mentioned, and as you saw, it was served for many years as just an auxiliary parking lot. We do have Laurel Mark Station here. People use that area for parking. Now the few commuters that use that park down here. And we've, as I said earlier, been working with MTA and CSX. This is actually a CSX freight line that MTA leases for the Mark Station service. So I'm going to turn it over to Rob, who's going to tell you about our bigger vision.
So I don't get to talk about all the sexy images and everything that you'll hear about shortly. So my stuff's kind of my topics are kind of bland. So as Mark said, this is under construction. So this is the main street or main boulevard, and that is currently under construction. We're working with BGE to actually we have a duct bank that's going in our main street to serve not only our project but for other connectivity. So we've cooperated with them, and that's under construction as well. Our backbone of utilities comes down the main street. We tie into water and sewer in Route 1. This is our phase one development that you've previously seen, the apartment buildings in the back, and then the stacked townhouses at these locations. So that's currently under construction for infrastructure to bring water, sewer, electric, gas, and the paved streets and alleys to these units. And one thing that I'm really proud of that's been a long time coming is actually Jim Irvin had approached me probably at this point close to 20 years ago, somewhere between 15, 20 years ago, about relieving a flooding problem in regards to the trailer park. And the county had gone ahead maybe 10, 12 years ago, constructed a stormwater management facility up here in Davis Avenue. It really did not have a suitable outfall, but it did provide some storage to relieve flooding in the trailer park. And we finally went to council and have a shared cost agreement to construct a storm drain through our project along the CSX. We had to get permits from CSX as well and to outfall to relieve, ultimately relieve flooding in the trailer park. So happy to say that that's finally, after close to 20 years, is under construction and folks will be able to live a little bit better without that water flowing through the trailer park. So that's something we've integrated into the project. Didn't have to be in the project, but we always said it was going, that we'd always accommodate it, and we have, and that's a lot of fun. So this again is what you'll see tonight and hear about tonight is our phase two, our green area here. As Mark mentioned, this is a vehicular underpass and a pedestrian underpass at the railroad station that connects to the Laurel Park Racetrack, and you'll hear about these special spaces in a little bit. This will be a future phase apartment building. That will be our phase four. Phase three will be another phase of residential, probably again stacked townhomes here. This is part of the future phase with the non-residential development closer to the entrance and the circle. So with that said, I'd like to turn it over, and you'll hear about the specifics of why we're here tonight.
Thank you, Rob. So building on the approved FDP, which this image is from, again, as Rob mentioned, we're here to talk tonight about Block D. As we looked at the overall development of the architecture and of the building plan based on the approved FDP, we are dealing with a large kind of linear block element. As Mark indicated, we're parallel to the railhead along here, and we're coming along Main Street now. So these next series of diagrams kind of rotate from the previous plane orientation. So just to reorient, coming in from Route 1, Baltimore, Washington Avenue, to the roundabout, coming down Main Street to that central green space. So as we looked at this, we're looking at a four-story wood structure apartment building with structured parking at the rear. And we looked at how to best organize those programmatic elements to maximize the overall efficiency of the plan, as well as kind of to create the most appealing architecture. So as we looked at this long kind of block, we said, well, the first thing we need to do, given our clients' goals, is to address that pedestrian scale and the articulation of the mass as we come up Main Street. So we introduced a series of cutbacks within the massing to kind of break down the scale, the length of the block. In doing so, we looked at how we could enhance those connections to the programmatic elements within the development planned or within this phase. So looking at connections to the future development across the street, connecting our courtyards with that, connecting our residential courtyard with kind of the town green, we'll say, for the development of Station Square. And then further enhancing kind of the massing, we looked at how to articulate and take kind of key moments along that facade. So with the step back, we're creating moments of architectural significance to kind of bring a rhythm to the street and to the building's massing as a whole, and then looked at a larger moment here that'll correspond with the building amenity and entry program. And then further kind of refining it down in scale, taking those opportunities and kind of breaking them down again. Kind of as Mark said, pedestrian access and scale were something that was very important given the size of the block. So creating a secondary read of smaller openings and access points along the facade elevation. So reorienting, you know, again, in terms of Route 1 split coming in on Main Street, we have the future uses of office with ground level retail, and we have our residential block, and then the future uses of retail along here and here. So we looked at kind of the grand boulevard. So you're looking at a divided boulevard with streetscape on both sides, widened sidewalks, integrated bioretention planters that come down the street to help modulate it, and setback and kind of give this long building some relief from the street, some setback from the pedestrian. from the at the pedestrian scale. As you come in, we're about 7 feet lower at this end of the block than we are from the top. So the building kind of starts to march up with the street. So we have a series of walk-ups to help activate the streetscape along here that you'll see in the further development of the plan that help activate the streetscape at the lower level. But still setting them back so that we have a wide enough planting strip, sidewalk, so that the pedestrian experience is adequate. You don't feel like you're right on top of the unit's front door, and the units themselves have some relief from the sidewalk and street. Kind of zooming in a bit, again, talking about the connectivity here, you'll see the pass-through that connects through. So from the smaller park, you know, there's a direct visual connection through the portal to the first residential courtyard. From this residential courtyard, there's a look through back to Station Square. So the building's kind of always interlocked with the overall planning context. In terms of just some kind of community space precedents for what those spaces could be, in terms of the streetscape, we're looking at, you know, the series of structured planters and bioretention that I mentioned. And then within the smaller square and the larger community square, providing flexible open space that can function for both smaller residential gatherings, farmers markets, et cetera, but also large enough to host some smaller community events and or more regional type events affiliated with the owner's track next door. So we'll go through a kind of a series of renderings and then kind of the overall elevation and building plan. So this view, again, is looking up Main Street towards the roundabout and Route 1 along here, racetrack to the left, Mark Station along here. And so we're looking across the central green. We're seeing the connection in. We're seeing the open level of amenity, the leasing offices and programs for the apartment building allocated along there. And this connection comes through and up to the Mark Station. Currently being contemplated, there will be a walkway that comes down. There'll be a phase surface lot here for the station. As it gets further development, structured parking will be included in the future phase four that will help accommodate the MARC train. So within our garage, we're not really accommodating those riders at this time. That will come online with the station ahead. As we look at the overall floor plans, and you'll see some site sections further along, we have a pretty significant grade change, as I mentioned, 7 feet along the face, but also another 5 to 6 feet along here. So we took that opportunity to locate our garage entrance down around the edge and then kind of come up with grade a bit and create kind of a long linear garage that provides us a barrier between the rail and the residential. So as we move up to the next level, you can see again the road kind of coming in. So you're coming into the garage. We have a speed ramp up. And then basically tenants will have assigned parking. They'll move through the garage to their assigned space, and then there's various access points for them to come within the building. Well, along the street, as I mentioned, we activate the facade with a series of these entry courts to come in for residents. The units directly on Main Street on Laurel Park Boulevard have walk-up access to help activate it, and you can see kind of the setback along there to preserve kind of keeping them in line. So again, there's a good buffer between the sidewalk, the planting strip, and the unit entries. And then at this end is the programmed amenity space. So in the mixed-use multifamily product, this will basically consist of the leasing offices, the some functional meeting rooms, some other amenity spaces that the residential developer will feel help accommodate, potential tenants. Fitness area, everything from golf simulators, to dining rooms and other functional spaces. Those are currently still being contemplated as part of the plan development, but those are kind of the very active visual uses and kind of the front images that we wanted to connect for the building and associate directly with the activity of Station Square. So you can kind of feel this is the active, more public vibrancy, and then as you move in, you get more quiet, contemplative spaces. So we took that approach into the courtyard. So, you know, having a residential courtyard with pool kind of front and center, so this is, again, more active, quieter, more contemplative space, and then, again, a third smaller courtyard space moving back in scale. And then just to the typical plans as we move up, having some double height space, again, to help activate and create some dynamic views through for the main entry and primary courtyard, and then kind of the typical floor plan unit distribution.
As I mentioned, we have a significant grade across the site. Here, for orientation, Laurel Park Boulevard side, as we come across, you're seeing that transition down, and then the berm swale, and then the berm up to the existing rail right-of-way, and then as it comes back down to the grade of the track. So again, here, the intent to use the garage kind of as a natural buffer, acoustically and physically from the noise of the track, of the railhead, and the residential space, and giving some relief. And then looking transversely from the other end of the south portion towards Route 1, you're seeing we're holding that up high, trying to hold a uniform level across as we move up to Station Square and kind of the larger open residential court at this area. In terms of the architecture, as Mark said, we're looking at a kind of a more contemporary design, a mix of both masonry, fiber cement, and other materials to kind of break down the scale, going down to the pedestrian scale, the human scale of an individual brick at the lower levels, and then using some of the more dimensional materials of fiber cement to create some secondary reeds and more kind of contemporary looks that we've seen in recent projects in and around Howard County. This kind of present image gives you an idea of what that view window would be into that primary main courtyard. Again, similarly, the idea of this open, translucent, transparent pathway from the public way into that first primary court. So again, as I mentioned, that primary court here, your direct connection, this is if you're visioning, you're coming through from coming down from the marked tracks or coming through the pedestrian pathway from the track. This is the view as you're coming into the green and turning towards the side. Again, the amenity level here, the open bridge concept through to the primary courtyard, and kind of the block of housing units along here. So we move around the building, as I mentioned, you know, with those walk-up units providing adequate space in the streetscape to allow for kind of delineation of the parker, the bio planters along the main street, still having adequate space for a good planting strip that can support plant life to, again, give that buffer between the sidewalk and the residential unit access. Further view down Laurel Park Boulevard, as we come down towards the end of the building, again, you're seeing that transition of grade. We're picking up some more, so some of those entry courts start to become elevated, giving kind of a tertiary space for the residents as they come and they can gather. Again, they're kind of protected off the street, still allowing for good pedestrian flow, bike traffic, et cetera. And then at the end, looking back towards the building, the grade coming down, the garage entry, the building pulling down to wrap and hide as much of that garage as possible, and kind of then the overall elevations referring to that. So again, you're seeing those pop-up elements that were from the diagram kind of to break up and modulate. You're seeing kind of the entry courtyards becoming more glassy and transparent, and then kind of a read of A-B rhythm of punched openings, projected bay, punched openings, projected bay as you move up the street. And then on the facade facing the courtyard, again, kind of the idea of that whole end of the building becoming a vertical element, the glass piece through the main courtyard, and then again, the breakdown of that kind of secondary facade. Rear elevation facing the tracks, we're looking at the garage. We are contemplating different screening elements potentially for it. Frankly, it'll most likely be cost-driven. We're looking again to make sure that this is open for ventilation requirements, but also solid enough again to serve as that kind of acoustic separation. And then finally, the elevation at the far end, again, the garage entry tucked back, bringing back kind of the residential wrapper to hide as much of the garage as possible. And with that, we open up to the panel for questions.
Thank you for the thorough presentation. We'll hand it over to DPZ for their comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Department of Planning and Zoning General agrees. I mean, they have a very good presentation, and the information provided was very thorough. I don't have a lot to add, I mean, information-wise, but I'd just like to, you know, the panel is here to look at Block D, which consists of the 258 multifamily residential structure here located along the border of the Laurel Park Station property. in the Department of Planning and Zoning, we'd like to request that the DAP evaluate, make recommendations on the orientation, layout, and configuration of this site plan and how this residential building, you know, relates to its immediate surrounding area and amenities within the property. We'd like to ask that, you know, if you could provide us with some commentary and opinions on, you know, on how it, and its orientation and its relation to, you know, with the garage, and how it aligns with the surrounding streets, alleys, and surrounding amenity space, how it fits within the site. If you could also make recommendations on the road and pedestrian circulation, pedestrian pathways, connections within the site itself and to the surrounding areas and how that really works. And if you could make recommendations relating to the architecture, its general scale, you know, the elements, you know, that define what's presented here and how that will fit in the general feel of the overall Laurel Park Station project.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nick. And just for the record, Fred Marino here. I'm going to recuse myself from making comments on this particular project, but my colleagues, I'm sure, have plenty of good thoughts that they'd like to convey to the applicant. So I'm going to turn it over to Bob here. I know he's got plenty of them mulling around in his head already as he's been whispering to me.
Just some clarifying things on the design. And this doesn't have to do with the building, but you show two underpasses that go over to the under the MARC train to the racetrack.
Yeah.
But in the rendering, it looks like there's only one on the north side of the future little retail building there.
No, there are two and two will remain.
Is there any parking on that little street around the square?
Right now, we anticipate just a drop-off pickup area at the entrance, at that entrance.
I guess I'm more concerned are we going to get to see this park sometime in the future?
And one other thing I do want, across the other side, there are a couple parallel spaces proposed here, and okay. A couple parallel spaces.
Well, I'll reserve my comments for the future then if we're going to get to see this.
This will come back before the panel.
Okay.
On the future phases. And, yeah.
Focusing on the detail and wondering where that was because you don't have any of this building, right?
So we're focusing on Block D and its immediate adjacent.
Right. Yeah. Block D is the plan for the panel this evening. Really, how it relates to its surrounding site, the future phases, and progress. I mean, we'll be brought before this panel for comment.
I didn't see any sections on the main street there. How wide is the sidewalk in front of the building?
There's
a rendering.
There was a wider section. Now we've broken that at the suggestion of the landscape that we've broken up, and now we have that paver section, and I believe here we're saying, so in total it's about 10 feet. That strip is going to be about 4 feet, and that section is going to be approximately 6 feet.
I have a question for clarification. On your master plan phasing diagram, there's a line, I think it's page 6, there's a tight line around blocking. In a later diagram, 6 or 7 pages later, there's a red dash line that runs around Station Square as well. Is Station Square included in this phase of development?
Yes, it would be. So this is our shot at the park then. Yes, no?
Well, if the panel would like to make comments on Station Square and how it directly relates, you know, with Block D.
It's part of what's being approved tonight, as this suggests.
Right. So yes, I would like the panel to make direct comments on both the residential building and Station Square as presented.
So
So back to your question.
We didn't get much discussion about what's going on there. As a retail use there, that's going to be a tough thing for that tenant. There's no parking. It's remote from the whole community.
If I can address that.
Sure.
Am I on? You're absolutely right. From our perspective, in terms of phasing this, we're balancing two things. One being, given that we're going to have phase one with 220 residential units and then this phase coming in, we really wanted to have an amenity base. And as well, this amenity base enables a connectivity to the racetrack. Because of, I think on this you can see a little bit better the.
But that's just a sum total.
But this is not retail.
This we will definitely bring in for future use, or I'm sorry, for future review by the panel, as well as up here.
Okay. I just wonder what the idea is of that being retail and it's like this remote corner of the project with no parking around it. If I'm living in the townhouses, am I going to schlep over there to use that retail? And it's going to be tough.
It is, and it's going to have to be a very flexible use in terms of, you know, some of the things that we're thinking about. As operators of the racetrack, we have a full-fledged food and beverage operation, and it may become the type of use that's it's almost like a pop-up use, whereby, and we're staffing it in the morning with coffee for commuters, in the afternoon or people coming home from work, that type of thing.
The community, though, in terms of,
right.
Did you give any thought to doing any retail on the street level in any of these buildings? I don't see it in your.
Not for this building.
I don't see it in any of your buildings in your land use plan.
Well, we do have. I think
those two red dots are the only thing.
That's it. And when we bring this building in, we're going to, you know, potentially consider street front retail in this building. The reality is this is a very difficult retail site.
Yeah, but you're making it even tougher where you've got these guys. They're both in remote or surrounded by street that you can't park on.
Understand.
Could your office be mixed use potentially? Could you have retail on the ground floor?
Potentially. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think. This could potentially be with some similar to Maple Lawn in the their Maple Lawn's commercial district. You know what we really know from experience our own, as well as just experience along the corridor, that retail use at the bottom of apartment building doesn't work.
I'm not even on
Route 1, so.
I mean, the best you could do would be some kind of convenience thing, but you're talking about 127,000 square feet of retail.
Right.
I don't see any of that on there. Or is that just wishful thinking at this point?
It is what we are entitled to under the zoning for TOD. If I could do 127,000 square feet, I'd be a blessed man. The challenge, and that's part of, as you all are well aware, with a multi-phase project like this, today I can't do it. I know I can't do it. That's why we don't have any planned in here. That's why we don't have any planned in here. Our hope is that as the future comes and with the Mark Station, we may be able to support some retail, and in that case, there would probably be, as there is in downtown Columbia in the Metropolitan, shared parking in this building.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what I'm...
That kind of retail that's like services the community, not the, you know, the racetrack patrons who are spending money across the track.
Right. From a retail perspective, I think it's going to be heavily service-oriented food and beverage.
I think clarifying that park is part of this scope, was leading into a question that I had, and really the future-ready mentality can program into Block D, I think. And the biggest challenge, I think, with that, in my mind, is the southwest corner of the walk-ups, which right now will be kind of on the train tracks, immediately adjacent to a future retail tenant. And I wonder if there's a way to look at the western, the whole western portion as, you know, the amenity space or something on the ground level that, that could become retail in the future should the market drive it, and in the immediate development becomes the amenity space that could be scalable, rather than creating those walk-ups right in really what I would think is a pretty tough location for walk-up units adjacent to the tracks and the retail and the walk-through below the tracks.
Sorry, excellent question. And just to clarify, these units actually are not walk-up. We are only walk-up along the boulevard.
Okay.
These are internally accessed. There actually is a bit of grade fall as you hit that going down for the cut-through. So we're actually looking at the landscape there being somewhat terraced to help accommodate it and create a landscape buffer just to accomplish that goal that you're saying, allowing some separation between the square
the south,
and those.
Is the south tunnel under the train track is just pedestrian?
This is pedestrian. This is vehicular.
So how far is that grade differentiation?
Rob, do you? Probably, you know, obviously, you know, if you've ever been out there, this today drops down probably 10 feet vertical, maybe more, maybe 12 feet. And that's kind of that has to be retained. That's the way to get under the railroad. So there's a pretty significant drop there. I'd say along here we're looking at you know at grade here and probably minus 10 feet by the time you're here.
The other thing in our initial planning for the station. We will have actually a bridge that goes over. You know, we're working with MTA, and we're in early concept planning there. But what we really wanted to do, what we really wanted to avoid, is people walking across the train tracks, you know. So that's why we chose to keep that existing, you know, it's a known path, if you will, for people. And so it's comfortable, and they don't have to relearn something. But it is, it's really primarily there so that we keep people up, you know, from walking across the train tracks.
Just from what we see in a lot of these projects, everybody in the world has a dog now. I wonder if that little thing, instead of being a really tough retail spot, is a little dog park or something.
It's an excellent point, and that's something we're considering, and more, you know, I think our marketplace for this project is what I call pre-nesters and empty nesters. I'm one of those. Both of those populations have dogs, one because they're getting ready for real kids and the other, like me, because they miss their kids. It's a very good point. It's a very good point. And we've seen, it's amazing, some of the dog parks you see out there now.
Might make your project more marketable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it won't cost you anything. So we're digressing a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, Larry, anybody else? Vivian?
Yeah. No, I just wanted to comment that I was glad to see that you are using the Green Street concept of the bioretention areas along with the planting areas along the street. And it does have a true look of a boulevard, which is, you know, what it's named. So I'm glad to see that. I did want to ask about the internal courtyards. Are they considered public space? I mean, can anybody in the townhouses just kind of walk in there? Because I see a swimming pool, and I'm wondering if that's really for an amenity for the residents of the rental units.
Right now, without having the property management team kind of fully on board, the anticipation would be the courtyards would be for the apartments only.
Okay.
So that wouldn't be necessarily a community pool. That's why we're trying to create a visual connection but still a secure connection. That's why you kind of see the glass off between the courtyards.
So when you're coming street level, you really can't enter that unless you have a path.
Prox Street.
Okay. edging. This is kind of off the area that we're talking about now, but does Davis Avenue now, you project that will connect up? Because the last time we saw this, it did not. It still won't then? Or?
Our most recent, you know, conversations with the county is that that's not going to be happening anytime soon.
Okay. The way it's drawn, it looks like it goes right in.
Yeah, that actually... There will be separation there.
Okay.
And to Rob's point, we are very happy and proud of the fact that we're working with the county on this shared cost storm drain. It's a 72-inch pipe?
Yes.
It's a 72-inch pipe. I mean, it's a big pipe. And it really is. This whole area, my hat's off to Rob and his team because drainage issues have been paramount, and so we've worked really hard with that.
Unfortunately, Davis Avenue is a private street.
Okay. And that's what I remembered from last time.
Yeah, and that really complicates things, but, you know, hopefully this is a catalytic project, and the surrounding land uses and property owners begin to recognize, you know, what they're adjacent to and the importance of having those interconnected roadways. So hopefully at some point in the future that becomes a real discussion.
Right. My final question relates to parking. Is the parking garage, I know it's for the residents that live there, but if there are visitors, is it large enough for them to park there, or are they expected to park on the street?
That's a good question. No, we're parking, even though we're TOD, we're using the same numbers we would use on any other apartment project in the county, which ends up usually getting to 1.8, but so there's no credit for the TOD aspect here, and the 1.8 does include full amount of visitor parking as well.
Okay, so that's designated in some way, a resident parking only, and then visitors. I didn't have any other questions. I commented last time that I like contemporary architecture, so this appeals to me. I know it's a huge building, but you do a lot of articulation, but I'll leave those comments to my fellow architects.
Are the utilities in the median?
The backbone is, so right down the median, right down the green, is actually that BG duct bank that I was talking about, and then offset from that are the water and sewer mains, and then obviously electric and gas also is coming down through there. It's a busy strip underground.
Is there any accommodation for bike lane?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Important that given the scale of this building and the length of it, that the trees that you do have in front of the building ought to be a decent size when they go in and not sticks.
Yeah, we've actually been working very closely with a design build landscape company, as well as our friends at the Design Collective on the hardscapes. So it's a very well taken.
I have a few comments. I think so. Okay. Hello. Okay. So quick question on the entry courts. How do those work? Where do you access the inside of the building from there? And what are those front doors? What do they look like?
So basically we have, at each court, you have a residential entry that would be access controlled,
mm-hmm.
To allow tenant entry into the hallway.
And those are they're fully exterior, the green spaces?
Yes.
And is that open, or is there a fence or something? Is that gated?
So we don't necessarily have gates along each court. The initial this is a good view. The initial approach is not to create something that feels foreboding in terms of having a gate right up on
it
the street.
It looks better in elevation than it does in plan.
And again, right. The elevation on a building of this long gets to be relatively hard to project, so we relied heavily on the renderings to convey that kind of approach. So the idea is you're bringing down the scale of a wall, again, allowing a little bit of separation so that the folks don't feel like they're right on top of the street as they come into the entry court, but they can come in, fob in. So if I know
for instance, I'm in at this end of the building, I don't need to go pick up any mail or anything. I can, I don't have to come all the way down the length of the building. I can kind of short circuit my approach.
How does that work then? If you're walking up to get into the lobby, is the first floor at the same level as the lobby,
correct,
or do you go back down the steps?
This is all entirely at the same elevation.
And it's all elevated above,
correct,
the street.
No,
okay,
step slab throughout.
Okay. So in general, I really applaud you for breaking up the scale of the mass of this building because it's so huge. And I'd like your diagrams of how you broke it up with the different courtyards and the entry. So it's a really nice way to break down the scale. And I do think it's very attractive in different ways. The thing that I initially was struck by was that I feel like this is probably one of the most successful parts of the facade. I feel like some of the other parts they look a lot like other buildings that I've seen. I feel like the kit of parts is very familiar, and that's a good and a bad thing. I think, mm-hmm, everything starts to look the same after a while. And, like, it's apparent, especially in this bird's eye view of the whole site. I mean, I think this is a really exciting project. Unfortunately, I wasn't here when you guys reviewed the townhouses, but what page am I looking at? So this one, the aerial perspective, it's a little frightening. Everything looks kind of a little bit too homogeneous, and I feel like this is this kind of project is almost, I'm thinking of some of the, maybe this is a smaller site than what I'm thinking of, but there are similar housing projects abroad where they have different architects that come in and do different, mm-hmm, portions of it. I feel like this is a great opportunity to kind of have different portions of the site have a different personality. And I think in the long run, it makes for a more interesting place to live. I think individually, like, each of these pieces is very attractive, and you've done a well job of articulating, you know, the street level, et cetera. But just generally moving forward, you might want to think about kind of adding some new language to the architecture and, you know, just to make it a little bit more exciting, especially with this site because it's so close to, you know, the track, Route 1. if we bring in some of that retail component, I think it could be a really exciting place to live. But generally, I think it's a really well-documented, really well-thought-out plan and an exciting project.
Can you briefly, Matt, tell us how trash is to be stored, collected, removed?
So, again, using the benefit of the kind of topography of the site, that all the building surfaces kind of follow the natural flow of gravity and collect down at the base of the building. So all of our utility services are coming in, our primary mechanical water, but also this would be our primary point of trash collection. Again, given the length of the building, we'll have a series of nodes throughout kind of these interior portions here that would become kind of the utilitarian collection points, but they will all kind of find their way back down to this end of the building for trash, loading, and service.
And then I just noticed on that lower level, I thought I saw a room that was identified as a bike room. Did I read that correctly?
Correct. So when we have bike rooms, typically this isn't necessarily just bike storage, but also bike service, cleanup, and repair. So we like to make sure that we get good access so you can come in after you've been riding the muddy trails without dragging your bike through the main lobby of the building.
Is that for lead points also? Or?
Yes. I mean, okay. Bikes, storage, but also, I mean, it's just in general, Howard County's embraced, yeah, as you all know, the use of bikes, paths, shared use pathways, et cetera.
In the final design, you will provide access to this first courtyard for the people along the street because it doesn't show in your floor plan at all.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You can see the little blue amenity places where you can get into the courtyard.
Parachute into that one. Parachute into that one.
Deduct that from the fee.
I,
I had one other question about handicapped accessibility. I see the entry courts. One of them, I think the this one looks like it's at grade. There are no steps, but the steps here and here, I didn't notice any type of ramps that are kind of integrated with the planter areas or anything. Is there plans to do that, or is the expectation that someone who's handicapped would only be able to enter that court and then access the hallways?
You'll have accessible routes from here, but also from here. I mean, we really envision kind of as a first-time potential leaseor, you're coming into this area here. We have the kind of short-term parking for those potential tenants. So we really look at this as the front door, and that is 100% accessible.
Okay.
Nathan, anything else?
Sorry, Ethan, Nathan.
No, I don't have any other comments. I understand the architectural moves that you've made. They make a lot of sense. I think Station Square as a public space is probably the most exciting place in the whole development. Has a ton of potential. I hope for the sake of the project it can get some retail in there to activate the space. Whatever you can do to drive that activity onto that space in this phase and in future phases, I think is going to serve the project. Well.
Okay, so does anybody want to make any motions? Bob?
I'll just make a motion that you pay special attention to the scale of the street trees at the front of the building and put some decent-sized trees in there.
Anybody want to second that?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any other motions? No? No? Going once, twice, three times? That's it? No? No other motions. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your insights. Maybe show this to the
camera. Just quick follow-up notes. There's no meeting on the 11th. September 11th, there's no meeting.
Okay.
We didn't get anything received. I'll let you guys know if we get something in for the following meeting.
Okay.
And just sort of wrap up with Laurel Park, like the future phases and you know, stuff that we see, you know, that these projects are tying into, they will come back before the board. I mean, as the site development plans and stuff come in, they will be presented to you for review and comment. Just keep up the good work. We appreciate, you know, everything the panel does.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Very exciting project.
Mr. Chairman, move to adjourn.
If there's nothing else on the agenda, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.